a joy to see young people using the abilities God has given them for his glory. Thank you, young ladies. Now, junior church, if any kids, verse up through sixth grade, if you want to head out to junior church, you're more than welcome to. And some will stay in the auditorium, and that is fine, too. It makes me feel comfortable because I'm used to preaching to kids. And so either way, we like to provide that. You head on out there. The rest of you are staying in the auditorium. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul uses the word finally, but that doesn't mean it's coming to an end. And I'll explain that in a minute. But, you know, I thought about this. About a year, two summers ago, my mom called me and when I went over there to the house, and she said, you know what, there was an airport that landed, I mean an airplane that landed in my in the hayfield over there. I said, right, Mom. And it took off too, didn't it? And then it came back. Yes, yeah, I saw it. So I called my sister real quick and said, we need help for Mom. There is no, Mom, maybe you dreamed it last night, but I watched yesterday as Tony went up and down three or four times here and then across the road. He lands it right in this hayfield here, and he takes off in like 100 feet. I thought for sure he's going to run right into the church, and boom, he just up and over the church. And so, Mom, you're not crazy yet. Praise the Lord. I saw it with my own eyes yesterday as Tony did it. Now I know what it was, so I have to apologize to my mom. I was ready to put her away, and not anymore. Praise the Lord. She is in her right mind. Philippians chapter 4, we're talking about this because it's dear on Paul's heart, but he does come to the word finally. But that doesn't mean it's an end. That means this is what puts it all together. Because he's talking about a spiritual stability. And again, this isn't just stability in the church, it's stability in your lives. We need Christians who are stable today. Christians who are solid for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he uses the word stand fast. You know he said this when he talked about the armor of God. In Ephesians, he said, put on the whole armor of God. And having done all to stand, stability. We need to stand for Jesus Christ today. We need to be stable in an unstable world. But Faith Baptist Church needs to be a stable church in the midst of all the chaos that's happening in the world today. And so Paul knew that the Philippian church was going to go through it. So what he did is he gave five things so far. He said you need to have harmony. You need to have joy. You need to have a graciousness, getting less than what you deserve. You need a confidence in the Lord. You need a thankful prayer life. And what I mean by thankful prayer life is it's not about the answer to prayer. That's not why you pray. You just pray because you have a God in heaven who hears your prayer. Isn't that amazing? He's the creator of this universe, but he takes time to listen to you. Every day I send my prayers up to God, not expecting whatever he answers is his will. But I'm done with my prayer life thinking, how awesome is it that I have a God that hears everything I just asked him? That's the stability. Those are the things that bring stability into your life, bring stability into the church. But then he came down to verse 8, and he says, finally, brethren. Again, Paul uses the word finally not to end it, but this simply indicates that Paul has arrived at the climax of his teaching on spiritual maturity and stability. Again, finally. See, this is the key word. This is what puts those things. You won't practice those five things without these next two things. That's what he's saying. The key to harmony, the key to joy, and having that confidence in the Lord and that thankful in my prayer, that graciousness in my life, that I'm stable in the world, it boils down, those are the things that will give you stability. But finally, he says, here's what makes it go. Here's the gas that runs the engine. Here's what makes it happen. That's what he's saying, and he gives us two things, and we're only going to have time to cover one today. But he gives two things into your lives. The principle that he is about to relay is the combination of all of their principles and the key to implementing them. He uses the phrase at the end. Let me read it. Verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, here's the key phrase. Think on these things. That's the key phrase. Think on these things. The phrase think on introduces the important truth that spiritual stability is the result of how a person thinks. This word, logizomai, is the word for think on. It's in the Greek. This is in the imperative form. If you know anything about the imperative form, it's a command. Proper thinking is not optional in the Christian life. It's commanded. Logizomai means more than just to entertain the thought or it passes by your thought process. It means to evaluate, consider, to calculate, to meditate. Believers are to consider the qualities that Paul lists in these verses and meditate upon that application into their lives. It's in the verb form, so it calls for habitual discipline. I mean, not just, well, this week I took 5 minutes to think about God. It becomes habitual. I think about God all the time. I think about God's church. I think about God's people. I think about God's word. I think it just begins to consume me a little bit. It's habitual. That's the idea behind the Greek word logizomai. It's not just a passing thought. It becomes habitual in my life. The Bible leaves no doubt in my mind that people's lives are the product of their thoughts. Look what he says in Proverbs 23:7. Solomon wrote this. He says, as a man thinketh in his heart, guess what? So is he. You know, I can relate it like this. You know, computers can do amazing things today, can they not? But you know what? A computer can only output, you know what? It's been inputted into them. That's the idea. Computer's output is dependent on the information that is input. So people's actions are the result of your thinking. Your actions are a product of your thinking. What you think, you do. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus expressed this truth. Listen to what he said. He laid it out way better than I can. Jesus said, and he said in Mark 7:20, that which cometh out of the man, that's what defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. It's what you put into your mind is what comes out in your action. You have to get this concept. For biblical thinking is really relevant in our culture today. I say that because the focus today is emotion, and the importance of serious thinking about biblical truth is downplayed. Truth today is whatever works and produces positive emotions. The church today is often more concerned about whether something be divisive or offensive than whether it is biblically true. Folks, it's true in the world today. You know why? Because the world, I don't know who's pulling all this, but they just wanted you to be afraid. Fear is an emotion. And you stop thinking and you respond by emotion because they don't want you to think. This world doesn't want you to think because they want to control. And we've stopped thinking in our society today. Boy, if you just take time and look at the facts and think it through, did they not make some serious mistakes during this pandemic? Some serious mistakes. But nobody sees it. And to my amazement, probably most of these people will be reelected again. Why? Because people don't know how to think. They base everything on emotion. Paul says here, finally, my brethren, think on these things because he knew you could not have a stability in your life or stability in the church without having the proper thought process. Man is controlled by what he wants and what he desires. But such a perspective is so far from the noble Bereans. As Acts 17, Paul said this, "These were more noble in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so." There was a thinking group. God commands us to think today. Even with rebellious Israel, God said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, "Come now, let us reason together. Let us think together," Jesus said. God told them that. I love the story of the Pharisees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees in Matthew chapter 16 came tempting Jesus, desiring that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said, "When it is evening, you say, it shall be fair weather, the sky is red. In the morning, it shall be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the time." Jesus chided these unbelieving Pharisees and Sadducees for demanding miraculous signs from him. And he said, they're right before you. Think about it. He challenged them to think and draw the evidences from before them. Just as you're able to predict the weather because of the tree, you think about that. You put it into practice. Look at the signs that are before you. I don't have to show you a sign of the coming Messiah because the signs are right before you. Think about it. People just don't think. Careful thinking needs to be a distinctive mark of the Christian faith. Now, let me switch gears here a second. Before you were saved, let's go back, because the world, I think even in Christianity today, we think that man is okay, man is pretty good. As long as his good works outweigh his bad works, then he's not so bad. But that's not what the Bible says about man. You have to understand this truth that the unsaved man is depraved. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, "Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient before man." Man cannot please God. Man cannot choose to do what is good because he's depraved before salvation. Before salvation, man was not only depraved, he was blind. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not." Not only does man not choose what is good, but man does not see what is good. And then in Ephesians 4:17, man becomes vain or useless. He does not perform that which is good. Paul wrote this, "This I say therefore and testify to the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity in their mind." There's nothing an unsaved person can do to please God. There's nothing. They become vain, and in light of eternity, it's useless. Their life, I don't care what they produce on this earth, in light of eternity, it's all going to go away. It's all going to be melted away. And only what's done for Christ will last for eternity. That's why before you were saved, your life was honestly, I hate to say it like this, but it was useless. It was vain. There's nothing you can do to prepare for eternity. But as in the unsaved man, the Bible also says that they're ignorant. He said, having their understanding darkened, they became alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Not only do they not see what's good, they do not choose what is good, they do not perform what is good, and they don't even know that they're doing all this. They're ignorant. And then the Bible says they're foolish. "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God because they are simply foolishness unto him." It's all foolish. That's the unsaved person. Their mind it cannot think proper. That's why don't be shocked when the world doesn't think properly. Don't be shocked when right isn't on the forefront and truth is not on the forefront, because they're unsaved, they're depraved. And we, in our minds, think that they should be doing good, they should be doing this, they should be, and as an area of leadership, they probably should. But literally, the God of this world has blinded them. They're depraved, they're blind, they're vain, they're ignorant, they're foolish. That was before salvation. That's where you and I were before salvation. But now salvation came along. And I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. All of a sudden, your mind begins to change. Your mind begins to think. Paul tells us that those who are according to the flesh, they live according to the flesh, they're unsaved. They think about the things of the flesh. They think as fallen, unredeemed people. But on the other hand, those who are saved have the ability to think according to the things of the Spirit of God, because now the Spirit of God lives within them. The renewed minds are focused on spiritual truth that the Holy Spirit now controls in the mind of a saved man. That before salvation, he was depraved and ignorant and blinded by Satan. Now the believer's renewed minds can plunge into the deep thoughts of an eternal God and never reach the bottom. Believers must discipline their minds to think about things that are right and true and lovely and of good report. What are you thinking about today? What are you thinking about this week? Paul said, finally, my brethren, here's the key. Here's two keys. This week is think. Next week is do. That's the key to putting the stability into your life. But it's what you think about. How much time you think about what is good, what is right, what is just. So Paul even lists for us the things you're to think on. Let me go through this real quickly, and it will not take me long. But he said, whatsoever things are true. Things that are true develop stability when you think on them. They cause security because it's true. The ultimate truth is what? God and his word. Listen, too many of you focus on what's happening in the world and politics in the world. Let me ask you a question. Is it true? Can you trust it? Can you trust our media today? Can you trust the things that you're being told about all the things that are happening in the world today? There's got to be some doubt in your mind because there's just not truth. But that's what we focus on. That's what we watch on TV. That's what we read about. That's what we go to the internet and find, and we focus on that. But Paul said, whatsoever things are true. You know what truth today is? Let me tell you something. This book is true. There's not one error in it. Every word from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is true. Because it has to be true because God wrote it, and God is truth. God cannot make a mistake. God cannot lie. So you know what? You know what I'm trying to tell you? Paul says, stop focusing on the things out in the world. Focus on this book. Because this is truth. And when you think about truth, that's what creates the stability in your life. That's what gives you harmony. That's what gives you joy. That's what gives you the peace of God. That's what gives you the confidence in God. That's what gives you thankfulness and prayer. That's what gives you graciousness. Think on truth. Boy, you know, it's hard today to get people to read the Bible. I don't want you to read the Bible so I can say, I got you to read the Bible. I want you to read the Bible today because you need to focus on truth. There needs to be truth. That's why it's not on a weekly basis or once a day or one time a week. You need to focus on truth, and then you need to take that truth and you need to begin to meditate on it. That's why it's good to listen to preaching. That's why it's good to listen to even music that is filled with truth, the good old gospel songs that are just filled with doctrine and truth. Let them permeate in your lives. He said, whatsoever things are true. We need to read and analyze and meditate, I think, especially upon the Word of God. I love this. We used to sing this song at Lake Ann Camp. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord, they're right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord, it's pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. See, Paul said, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. But he also said, whatsoever things are honest. The word honest means honorable. Whatever is noble, dignified, and worthy of respect. Believers must learn to think, stop thinking on that which is trivial or temporal or mundane or earthly, but rather on that which is heavenly and worthy of all adoration and praise. God is worthy of our thinking today. How much time do we do? And I wrote a little note here, and it's to myself too. I'm not standing before you saying TV is wicked and TV is bad. You can find some good things on TV. But let me ask you a question. Because I battled this all my life. How much time do you spend watching TV, dumbing your mind, numbing your mind, compared to how much time you spend thinking about God and His Word and His goodness and His greatness and His power and His strength? No wonder, at best, we're weak Christians. Because it's what you focus on. He said, whatsoever things are honest. And honestly, there's not a lot on TV that's honest. There's not anything that's worth putting the time into. But there are so many other things that you can put your mind into. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are just. This is an interesting word. It's an adjective that could be translated righteous. It describes what is in perfect harmony with God's eternal, unchanging standards, again revealed in His Scripture. But the word just also denotes obligations to men and to God, and therefore the word just indicates one who fulfills obligations. What I'm saying is there, our thought should be upon our responsibilities to God and to men. Man, how can I be a blessing to somebody? How can I serve God this week? How can I make a difference for eternity? How can I make a difference? That's what we need to think on these things. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure. It means that which is holy and sacred. It describes what God describes in Scripture as being morally clean or undefiled. Our minds must be occupied by that which is pure. We've got to, the world, you focus on the world, you're going to see a lot of impurity out there. There's a lot out there, and you can't stop that. I understand that. But you need to, in turn, focus on something that's good, something that's righteous, just, holy, that's pure, that's true, that's honest. He said, whatsoever things are lovely. It could be translated the word lovely, sweet, gracious, generous, patience. The best way to describe lovely is the opposite of bitterness and resentment and criticism. Christians are to think upon those things which produce harmony rather than those things which cause strife in our lives. We need to think about things. I know you're going to have battles, and I know at work you're going to have battles, and at home you're going to have battles, and in the world you're going to have battles. I understand that, but what do you focus on? You know, when something bad happens in our life, you know what we do? We focus on that because it's bad. And we constantly think about it and think about it and think about that one that wronged us. Think about the one, and all of a sudden it takes over our thinking. Paul said, if you think about that, that's what's going to come out. But he says you need to think about things that are honest and true and just and pure and lovely. Now, I'm not talking you can do that all the time. I understand that, but there's got to be a time where we begin to focus on these things, because what goes in is what comes out. Number six, he said, whatsoever things are of good report. I like this. It describes what's highly regarded or worth thought of. The believer's thoughts are to be elevated by that which we find in Scripture. That's why I love reading the Old Testament. I love reading the stories of Joshua and going into the land of Canaan. I love to read the stories of Egypt and coming out of Egypt and the great miracles of God. I love to read the story of creation and the miracles. I love to read the Gospels as Jesus went through and He healed and He fed the multitudes and He caused the lame to walk and the blind to see. And Christ had such and it's just exciting to read what God is doing and put that in your mind. What do we put in our minds? We have to guard our lips to that which destroys another and creates division amongst brethren. Somebody does something that is wrong or foolish, and that's what we begin to talk about. That's what we begin to focus. When that's not going to help you in any way, shape, or form. I've had to guard this in my life. Paul said we've got to stop focusing on those things. Oh, you're going to see them. But he said you need to focus on whatsoever things are true and whatsoever things are just and whatsoever things are honest and whatsoever things are lovely and whatsoever things are of good report and whatsoever things are honest. That's what you need to focus on. That needs to be the focus. Oh, you're going to see the other things, but focus on those things. Whether it be the Word of God, whether it be God Himself, whether it be a godly Christian, a godly missionary, reading a godly book, listening to a godly music. I don't know what it is, but you need to focus your mind on the things of God, the things that are just and honest and true and righteous and good. Then he said this, if there be any virtue, that means excellence. Think on those things. We got some folks who are, you know, and I do this all the time. There's some godly people in this church that I love desperately. If I get a little discouraged, you know what I do? I think about them and their work and what they're doing and what God's doing in their life. What sort of things are excellent? If there be any praise, Paul said, anything that brings glory to God, think on these things. The key to godly living is godly thinking. That's what puts it all together. You want to have harmony? You want to have joy? You want to have that confidence in God? You want to have that graciousness? You want to have that thankful prayer? Those are wonderful things because those are the things Paul says that create stability in your lives and in the church. But he said, finally, it'll never happen until we get proper thinking. Until we begin to focus throughout the week on the Word of God and the things of God. Brother Holmshire did something for me that gave me something that helped me years and years ago as an evangelist as I traveled Neighborhood Bible Time. I didn't use it in Neighborhood Bible Time, but he gave it to me, and I found it later in the ministry. You know what it was? It was just like a little chart he gave. And every half hour, you had to write down what you did every half hour. You know, as a pastor, an assistant pastor, I've always been busy in the ministry. I've never had a trouble finding work to do. I love to work. I love to do, but you know what? I wrote down. I began to write down for 3 days in a row everything I did for. And you know what? When I got at the end of the day, I had a busy day, and I did a lot of work for God. But you know what I found out? There wasn't a lot of time in prayer. There wasn't a lot of time in meditation. There wasn't a lot of time about thinking about God and thinking about Him, thinking about godly people and others and being a blessing to others. Oh, I fulfilled my responsibilities. But my thoughts weren't right. God grabbed hold of my heart way back then. Said, if you're going to be a pastor and you're going to be used to me, you've got to learn to think right. Think on whatsoever things are true. Focus on it. Find something true. This book. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are a good report. If I could ask you to do the same thing that I had to do, how much time would you spend thinking about what Paul says here? See, that's what Paul's challenge is. Because if you don't think right, you're not going to do right. It begins with a thought process. The key to godly living is godly thinking. That's why Paul said, finally, my brethren, there's two things that puts it all together. Two things. First thing is thinking these things. Listen, I can't control your Life, I can't even control your thoughts. And I don't want to. That's none of my business. But if you had to answer honestly today, what's the majority in your life that you spend thinking about? Because what you think about is what you are. I preach a sermon that many of you remember. You are what you have been becoming. You know what that could be stated? You are what you have been thinking. What you're thinking is what you will become. That's why Paul said, finally. He didn't mean the end, but he said, here's the key. Here's the gasoline that runs the engine. Here's the belt that turns the wheel. Here's what makes it happen. Think on these things. So I ask you the question, as I asked myself so many years ago, what do you think about? Whatsoever things are honest, true, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. That's the motor that creates the stability in our lives. It begins with what you think. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege to preach God's word. I thank you for the Apostle Paul and his wisdom. We know all his wisdom came from God because he wrote the book of Philippians to the Philippian church to be a blessing to them, but it came straight from God. It came straight from the Holy Spirit. God, I see the priority of thinking. And in our societies today, in these younger generations, we've lost the ability to think. We live by emotions. God, we've got to take time to think and meditate and concentrate and focus upon things that are true and lovely and just and good. God, help us to think on these things. In just a moment, Julie will play a number on piano. With every head bowed and every eye closed, it's not a race.